fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. We're here again today with our guest, Gabby Pinedo, who's been sharing really her a story of her spiritual journey with us this week. And if you haven't had a chance to tune into the programs, I encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are right there, archived for you to listen to. And when you're there, just take some time to browse through the website. There's a lot of good material there. There's a lot of free stuff, a lot of free letters and newsletters and articles, a lot of products there. Our television shows, our radio shows are there for you to encourage you and to strengthen you in your walk in the faith. Welcome back, Gabby.
I thank you, Peter. It's been good for me to recall and remind myself of the good things the Lord has done.
Gabby's a friend who I've known for years, and she was here in the Ann Arbor area back, as she shared her story back in the late 70s, early 80s?
Yeah.
Is when you first came?
Yeah, 79. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And here's where she really, as she shared yesterday, how she came to understand the Lord's call, what vocation he gave to her to call her to be a wife and a mother. And she now has four children. She's a grandmother. She and her husband, Chris, live in Corpus Christi, Texas. So how did that all happen? So you have to discern, how did you meet Chris?
As I mentioned before, after I left, you know, that beautiful expression of single life, I still had one more year of college. So I was invited to live with this Mexican family, friends of us, part of this ecumenical Christian community. And, you know, it was wonderful because they had, their kids were older, but also I began to be exposed to, you know, a good marriage life. You know, their life was very rich, you know, in prayer and fun. And one of their daughters live here in town, you know, and they already had grandkids. So it was wonderful to engage in that kind of life. And, you know, it's not like the Lord had called me to be open to marriage and I was going to be hunting for, you know, married partner right away. But I began to be exposed to men and women who were have, you know, single activities, but we're open to marriage. Mm-hmm. And there was a beautiful way that we were encouraged to date. And I pretty much, you know, wanted to do it the way it was optional, but, mm-hmm. you know, I wanted to embrace that because I had never had a boyfriend, okay? Mm-hmm. I had never, you know, I was so set for the Lord, serving him early enough that to me, all the crying and all the heartaches that I heard from friends, you know, it was like, I just can't deal with this, you know? So I really never had, that didn't mean I didn't like boys growing up. I did, but eventually I just lost interest, you know, and then coming here and being exposed to this beautiful life. So after a couple of years, 2 years, it's interesting how the system worked. It was beautiful, you know, mm-hmm. because then people who were mentoring you will mention, you know, different people or guys who, you know, were looking for a wife. Mm-hmm. The beauty of this whole teaching was that you will not be playing around, just jumping from one relationship.
Yeah, you don't have
to go
to a bar to find somebody
exactly.
to get to know. Yeah, I know it's very helpful. And you know, parishes used to do a lot of that, you know what
yes.
I mean? And I think right now in the culture, a lot of young adults, we work with a lot of young adults, just good folks, they're very confused about how does this whole process work?
I know.
How are you supposed to meet somebody and how do you even ask them out and what are the expectations? Because the
yes.
culture's kind of blown all that stuff up.
Absolutely.
And it's very, very confusing.
Yeah.
And so some parishes still operate that way as a place of kind of gathering, place people can meet each other. And your own experience of going through kind of the help and the mentoring of folks in the community you're a part
yes.
of was really great. It just kind of gives you a sense of peace about the whole process.
Oh, absolutely.
And you don't have to, yeah.
Well, and the fact is that you begin to know people
yeah.
and you realize, oh, you know, this person has these qualities, you know, and this and that. So I have met Chris through University Christian Outreach before, but I was part of the single group, you know, mm-hmm. this mm-hmm. consecrated group of women. And he was the administrator and, you know, I had to deal with him with some stuff for the Hispanic students, you know. So I knew who he was. But, you know, back then I wasn't thinking about mm-hmm. being open to marriage.
You're just working with him, yeah.
Yeah, just working with him. And then later when things began to unfold, I had the opportunity to go out with different guys, you know, were part of the group. Mm-hmm. And the whole process was very beautiful because I needed to begin thinking about the kind of man I wanted to marry. What were my expectations? And I was helped in that process, you mm-hmm. know, by this mentoring mm-hmm. relationship. Because, you know, you are on fire for the Lord. And I say, oh, yeah, you know, I'm just going to marry someone who, you know, loves the Lord. And he wants to go to China to evangelize. I'll go, you know, and we live in a hut and, you know, whatever, you know. And Miriam Torres, she's actually godmother of my oldest, you know. She said, okay, Gabby, come down. We need specifics, okay, because it's a whole life together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, and just all the process, you know, began to say, well, you know, I would like... And I will tell you, this sounds funny, but, you know, I have German heritage. I'm very tall for a Mexican.
So you're German and Mexican background?
Yes.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, on my dad's side. My maiden name is Von Hauske.
Okay.
So we're all tall. I'm a little whiter than most Mexicans. So growing up, you know, I always, you know, I was too skinny, too tall. And it was just, they used to tell me, to find a husband, you're going to go over to the States because people are tall there. But, you know, as I began reflecting of the kind of man, I wrote down a couple of things. Now, first of all, I wanted a man of faith, not just that he knew the Lord, but that he was passionate about the Lord, mm-hmm. that he wanted to serve him wholeheartedly. Now, my second one, this is not so very spiritual, was that he will be at least my height. Because the few times that back in Mexico, some guy were attracted to me, they were all short. And yes. I hated that. I remember one dance when I'm sitting with a friend and there are these guys coming. And I thought, oh, they don't look very tall. You know, and I was very spoken. So he comes, this guy, and says, will you like to dance with me? And you know what I said? Mm-hmm. Let me stand up and you see how tall I am. And if you don't mind, I'll dance with you. And the guy looked at me and goes, oh, you're fine. So we went and danced.
Yeah.
I was very self-conscious of my height, you know. Mm-hmm. So to me, it was very important to at least look someone straight at the eye. I did mm-hmm. not want it to look down at my husband. Mm-hmm. To me, I don't know. It meant I felt protected if I was looking straight or higher.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that was my second one. The third one that I thought about thirdly was I wanted someone that will appreciate my culture. I was Mexican.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to like Mexican food, another thing to like the Mexican culture, to really engage. And I thought, well, if possible, maybe open to learn the language because I wanted to speak Spanish to my children. It was very important to me because I have been blessed of learning a different language, and it had enriched my life to come to the States, learn English. So I knew that my kids, I wanted to have them that experience. And then, the other one was that he would like sports because I love sports. You know, I love playing tennis. I didn't care specifically about the tennis, but that he would like sports because my parents on both ends played tennis growing up, and it became a family activity. My parents, they enjoy playing together. They play separately. But I knew that sports were big in families. And I knew families who, if the dad liked football and the woman hated it, it was a big controversy, you know? So those were my, and I can't remember the fifth one. But so lo and behold, the whole process, I begin to date different guys. And then Chris called me. I knew about him, but I just didn't know much. So we went out. He's very funny because a lot of opposites attract, but we're a lot more alike. And he said that on our first day, we went to see the Messiah. Then we went out to have coffee and a dessert. And as we began to talk, he says that he saw in my face kind of a change, like, oh, there is potential here, you know? Because the more we were talking, different experiences, I thought, oh, I went through that too. He had an experience of the Lord very young too. Through the charismatic renewal.
Mm.
His was more in an evangelical mm-hmm. setting, even mm-hmm. though he was Catholic. And then he had done missions. And then, before we actually went out in the recess of the whole concert, he says to me, I heard that you play tennis. And I said, yeah, I play tennis. And he goes, well, I play in high school. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this guy played tennis. And I knew that anybody on the tennis team in high school had to be good or at least, you know, decent.
Yeah.
So as we were talking, the pieces were falling. And I thought, he does have potential. Of all the guys I had gone out with, mm-hmm. which there were not many. I don't want to give that impression. There was a line of guys waiting for me.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, I would love to go out again with him. And eventually that's what happened. And one of our dates was going to play tennis. And I tell you, I was shaking, I thought, because people, you know, I'm a decent player, but just to have this guy, you know, who people tend sometimes to exaggerate things. And I thought, I don't know what he's heard about me playing tennis. Maybe he has this in his mind that I'm just a pro, you know, and I didn't want to disappoint him. I was so self-conscious. So mm-hmm. we start hitting the ball. And he has a beautiful style of playing. You know, he's a natural player. And I finally relaxed enough to, you know, that I can start hitting the ball back and forth. We had a great date. The term of falling in love, it was pretty much for me that. The more I got to know him, the more I began to appreciate his qualities and everything. But I never had a boyfriend. I never had physical contact with anybody. Mm-hmm. And here is where the mentorship came in very much at hand, because the person who was mentoring talked a lot with him about the physical touch. He says, mm-hmm. you have to go slowly with Gabby. And we laugh to this day that when I began to fall in love with him, but I was not making myself vulnerable enough to say, I love you, because there were new emotions in me. And I was trying to really discern if he was the man. And the pieces were just falling in place like crazy. And Miriam said, well, you know, why don't you start, you know, maybe holding her hand? I mean, this sounds stupid right now mm-hmm. and simple when now kids go to bed the first date. You know, and when people hear this, I always emphasize the importance of purity and chastity in relationships, because it's going to set up the tone for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And the one thing...
You know, those customs, I mean, before our time, when I was in high school in the 70s, it was no longer the case, because the sexual revolution
right.
began in the late 60s
yes.
and things were being turned on their head. But there used to be chaperones, you know. On
dates. Yes.
I mean, they had customs. And,
exactly.
And dads protected their daughters. And, you know,
yes.
in the sense of saying, hey, look, human nature is what it is. And we
right.
got to be careful.
Yes.
Got to be wise. We're not being prudish. But we're just going to be wise. And we're going to
yes.
guard chastity, the great value of chastity
right.
and all that. That stuff all kind of went out the window
oh,
beginning of the sexual revolution. And,
big time.
And it's, yeah, and it's terrible because people are just completely confused.
Yes.
And a lot of people get hurt because they
oh,
don't use wisdom.
Exactly.
And so it may sound, my point is it sounds like a simple thing nowadays to say, wow, you were thinking, you were talking about something like holding hands and something simple
yeah.
like that. Well, there was a beginning. You needed a beginning. You needed a process that a way of expressing yourself
right.
in a relationship that was consistent with God's plan and purpose.
Right. And we were looking into marriage, because dating, the essential thing of dating is looking for a spouse, not having someone to hang around, you know, for a couple of years.
Or just someone to sleep with, you know,
exactly.
or something like that. Yeah.
So the joke with us is that when he held my hand the first time, he goes, oh, Gabby, did you enjoy it? No, I did not enjoy it. Because I felt this electricity coming from the bottom of my feet all the way to my head, and I thought my hair is going to stick out. I mean, my hands were sweating, and he were walking, and you
That's
know, he
so
embraces
wonderful. Yeah.
me, and I'm like, okay, I guess this is part of it, you know? So it took me a while, you know?
That was the German side of your personality, trying
Probably.
To control the situation. Like, oh no, I'm having a lot of emotions. So the Mexican and German, that's quite a
I
combination
know.
You have there. So,
yes,
yeah.
But I thank the Lord, because it kept us pure so that we could engage in our marriage vow with complete purity.
No, you know, I'm so glad you shared that, because we hadn't talked about kind of where the program would go today. We
right.
talked a little bit about meeting
yes.
Chris and getting married and stuff. But I think it's just a good thing that you shared us today. It might have been the Lord to prompt us, because the culture is so confused.
Oh, it is
this
so confused.
Stuff. And it's been such a blessing in your life, and I know my own life too. So
yes.
anyway, we got more to talk about tomorrow. We're going to talk about your battle with cancer
yes,
tomorrow.
Perfect.
And
okay.
we'll talk Thursday and Friday, really getting into that, because it's an amazing story of what mm-hmm. you have to share and what God is teaching you. So friends, I'd encourage you to dial in again tomorrow. Invite your friends to join us as well as Gabby shares her story, the amazing journey of battling cancer in Christ. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.